7:03.
It's the morning shift, sports radio, 92.9 The Game. Mike and Bo hanging out with you. A couple dogs off the leash this morning here in the Kia studios. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting Clean. The football conversation rolls on. Before we get there, though, Bo, I got to tell you, man, my wife texted me a minute ago, just woke up, getting the kids up, walks in the kitchen, turns on the light. Big old bug right there on the wall. And
okay, so just
I think my marriage may be in danger.
Just walk over there with a loose shoe and smack it on the wall.
Oh, man. You know, that would be the easy thing to do.
It's easy pleasing.
That's not really what I would say up my wife's alley. Not really in her comfort zone. So that's not going to be and here's the thing. You can't look at me and tell me that your wife would do that. There's no way. Dude, I've met Amy a few times now. There's no way that she's on bug duty. Tell me she doesn't yell for you to come in from the other room.
She would probably call me and be like, there's a bug on the wall. Okay, we'll kill it. What do you want me to do? I'm in Charlotte. Well, I mean, I just don't think it's disgusting. You know what's more disgusting? The bug crawling around our house while you're talking to me. Just kill the dang thing. Come on, woman.
Yeah, so you got a slipper anywhere.
I'm so glad we're all on the same page here. Daddy and I follow you as well because it's the same thing with Simone. It's like, oh, my God, there's a bug.
Yeah.
And she'll literally leave it until I get back. And she's like, it's over there. I'm like, you can't just kill it?
I'm like, we live in like a 50-plus-year-old neighborhood, a 50-plus-year-old house. I'm like, dude, there's bound to be a bug every now and then during season changes. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Dude.
It just is what it is.
If there are trees near your house.
200-foot trees in every direction.
I call them the water bugs because they're like water bugs. They all come from pine trees and stuff. Let me ask you a question. And now, this person is not here to defend themselves, so we can say whatever we want, and they probably won't ever know. What do you think Tiffany does when she sees a bug?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Probably screams. She probably snaps it with a towel the way you would messing with a friend in the shop. Ba-ba! Sa-ba! She's probably like, nah, get off the wall. See, I don't know, man. We'll never know, though.
I think she experiences fear at first because it surprises her, right?
Yeah.
And then I think she probably just stomps the ever-living crap out of it. She's probably one of those people.
She probably uses some expletives on the way down.
She's probably one of those people that stomps it so many times. By the time that she's done, she is just like basically embedded the dead bug into her floor.
It's in the tile grout.
So yeah, it's a part of the apartment now.
That's spot on.
Oh my goodness! All right, let's get to some of this Falcons conversation, man. We've been talking about it throughout the show already. Obviously, a big win for the Falcons over the weekend, man. You go to Charlotte, you take care of business. Nobody is trying to downgrade what that means. All right, but I think
I heard a few people, but
no, I mean in this conversation. Here's the way I feel about this. There are certain hurdles that good football teams go throughout the year. There's your first big test, right? There's your first road test. There's just certain prove it style games where, hey, if we want to take the next step, we need to win this one. All right. And then mentally, I think fans kind of move on to the next step from there. So I think there was a lot of questions of, hey, we've had some last minute wins. There was some really, some craziness at the end of the Bucs game. Are we that good? Are we not that good? The next step is, can you go take care of your business? All right? And after you take care of business, then you look in the mirror and you say, well, we should have beat them. We should have beat them all along. So I think that this whole conversation we're having as part of the defense, the pass rush, the run game, it's part of the future. It's part of forecasting what this team can be down the road.
Can we talk about that before we talk about the pass defense versus run defense?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. It's your show.
Well, it's yours too.
Here. Yeah, I'm just
yours,
sitting here.
Yours too.
Go ahead.
We're sharing. I figured I want to say something. How many times in the past few years, good team, bad team, doesn't matter, would that game came down to the very end?
No doubt.
And I think one of the things that we've talked about, or we haven't maybe talked about enough this season, is how many close games we've played in the last 3 years before this regime took over that we lost.
Yeah,
we won some, but we lost a lot. Like last year against Carolina is the exact type of thing that I'm talking about, where we lost that game against a bad team, and we don't know why, but we did. We lost that game in Carolina against a bad team. You can say, but we didn't, and it was multiple reasons. A, our defense did a good job of playing with a lead.
Yes.
B, our offense did a good job of playing with a lead where they ran that 4-minute offense.
Yes, yes. I was actually gonna say they played like they didn't have the lead, like they needed to go get it aggressively. They were aggressively running the ball, but you're right. They were able to keep it on the ground.
Yeah, and that when it was 28-20 and you get the ball back on the A.J. Terrell interception, you drive the field and you score and you make it 35-20. You played with a lead.
Yeah,
that is so that was so important. And I think we just skate over it because we say, well, maybe we should have beat them 40-something to 10, or we didn't lead the entire game, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, a wire-to-wire win in the NFL. So all those things, I just think that those are the positives. Don't make it a negative. In fact, it could have been 45-20. Clark Phillips just did an unselfish thing.
That's a good point.
Instead of going back out there and risking injury to the rest of the defense, he said, I'm going to take a knee, take the pick to the 3-yard line, and we're going to go home about 2 minutes early.
Well, and to piggyback off that, there are times in the past few years that I would have sacrificed my firstborn to have back-to-back 30-point games. You know what I mean? Like, let's just call it what. And I love you, Ridge. If you're sitting in the car right now, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Daddy loves you, but there's just times in the last couple of years where you would have looked at it and said, back-to-back 30-point games. I would have slapped somebody's mama, not my own, but slapped somebody's mama in order to get back-to-back 30-point games. You, if you're trying to find the negative, you'll find it, man. But you shouldn't look that hard. Is to your point.
You let a lesser team hang around until you didn't, and until you decided, like we talked about on Friday, that you were going to put your foot on their throat and stomp down real, real hard.
So the tunnel vision has changed. The expectations have changed. You crossed that hurdle that you weren't able to get over a year ago and beat the teams you're supposed to. All right, that's exactly what you did Sunday. So now we begin to kind of dissect what this team is in the future. I want to hear from Grady Jarrett here about his thoughts on the pass rush and the fact that this D-line, they can't stop working.
Man, we got to press. We got to work. We got to continue to work it. We got to work our rush moves, you know. And at the end of the day, it's going to be nice when they come. But we can't get discouraged. We got to keep pressing, you know. And that sounds repetitive. I've been saying that for the past couple weeks. But at the end of the day, you know, when the dam break and the floods start coming in, we're going to run up those sacks. We're going to be glad that we never got discouraged. We're going to be glad that we didn't stop. And we're going to be glad that we got put in the more work, stay hungry, and believe to achieve things that we know we can do.
Grady Jarrett gives me the warm fuzzies on days like this, man. It's a little bit cold outside. Gives me the warm fuzzies. Does he not always make you feel good about the near future of this defensive line?
Well, he's a smart human being. He knows he doesn't overspeak. He's guarded, but he's not right. Like he'll tell you the truth, but without giving you too much of the truth that scares you or makes you panic or say, "Well, why'd you say that?" He's not wrong. What he said is. It's like I felt Matthew Judon did a good job of creating pressure. I thought he got held a few times that didn't get called. I thought Lorenzo Carter should have had a sack. I thought Cade Nellis could have had one. That said, go back to the offense 3 weeks ago. And 3 weeks ago, all we were talking about is can we score 30 points? Now we're complaining that we only scored 38.
Yeah, right.
And
my, how the turntables. As they would say in the office.
And I was asked a question yesterday when I did that hit, and they were like, hey, what they used the term about like the offense is kind of unlocked now. And I said, well, I felt like there was a unification moment for this offense where the run game meshed with the passing game and the quarterback meshed with his targets and the pass protection meshed with the quarterback. And everything just, it was like, and then the play calling and everything just unified as one. The defense has not gotten there yet. As well as they've played, they haven't been, but when it happens, it's going to feel like a cheat code. Because the one thing you can't say about that Sunday's game was that we struggled offensively to move the ball. Because at
that's 100% fact.
At no point, we had the first three and out. And I think there was one more at some point, but the reality of the situation was we moved the ball at will against Carolina and however we wanted.
Real quick, we got about a minute here. I want to throw this at you, though, because we just talked about and tweeted it out on the at 929 Morning Shift out on the X. What's more concerning for you moving forward for this team? Is it the pass rush or the run defense? Knowing the little bit we do, and we, you know, listen, we talk about turning the corner on Tuesday, 24-hour rule. You and I will continue to kind of watch film from this past weekend as we move towards Seattle this weekend. What's more concerning about you this weekend? Not long term, but just real quick, what's more concerning this weekend, is it the run defense or the pass rush? Because I think I know where you're going.
It's the run defense still.
Wow.
It's still
really?
The run defense.
Because, even as little as this team runs the ball.
Because, well, they ran it like 20 times last week, and which is an anomaly for them because they are a pass-happy team. I think they ran it 7 the week before. But the reality is their rush defense is like 26 in the league. Their rush defense is worse than ours. And I'm telling you that, say, you run the ball on them, right? And you possess time, you wear their defense out, don't give them a chance to get their run game established where they can do that to you. Because you can bet your ass they're saying the same thing about you, right?
Yep.
So don't let them do that, because Geno is going to turn the ball over. He's got 6 touchdown passes this year. He's got 6 interceptions as well. Stop the run. Force Geno to beat you on third and long because he's going to give you the ball.
From Thursday night football to Monday night football, it was a crazy weekend in the NFL. When we come back here on the morning shift, we will take you in the huddle and all those stories. Man, stick with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. 7:25 a.m. It's the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. Mike and Squid rolling on with you this morning. Going to get to In the Huddle in just a second. Got to talk about Monday Night Football, all the craziness going on. Appreciate the hat tips I'm getting on Twitter right now. A couple people sounding off for me and, kind of likening the situation with the bug on the wall in my house this morning, my wife, to their own situations at home, kind of vibing with me on that. I think all 4 of us sitting here, it is the meathead edition of the morning shift, all 4 of us in here are like, dude, my wife's the same way, man. Just get a flip-flop or a slipper for the love. My wife's like, that ain't my go-zone, man. So, nonetheless, fun edition this morning, man. Coming up and mic'd up at the 40, we're going to get to a little bit of the Dan Lanning 12 men on the field conversation. Also, crazy headline coming off of Longhorn's Wire about Kirby Smart possibly being suspended. Don't want to miss that as well. But, man, fun show so far. And, yeah, there's a lot of craziness going on in the sports world right now.
How about the drive? I'm just watching the All-22 on the iPad as we do the show. And how about the drive that they score? I think it was the second touchdown. I know it was the second touchdown. First off, the run that Bijan finishes.
Yeah.
I mean, he knocks like 2 dudes.
Love it.
On the ground.
Love
as
it.
He enters the end zone. In fact, he had to knock them over to get into the end zone. But the play that breaks this drive open is Kyle Pitts just kind of running by at Xavier Woods, finding the soft spot in the zone and throwing his hand up and saying, dude, they released me.
Yeah.
And he does it. He does it. And it's a good job of Kyle.
They released me. I'm open.
It's a good job of Kyle recognizing how they were playing on the back end, right? Because
yeah.
Woods is one of their safeties. But the other safety is so deep in the back of the defense, and I believe the other guy is Nick Scott. He's in the middle, deep, and it's Xavier Woods is kind of playing in the box, and he releases him, and Kyle's like, hey, release me!
Over here!
And boom, he catches
Kirk.
It. And
Kirk,
it's,
over here!
It's perfect because Kirk hits him, and he turns it upfield, and then you finish it, and I think two plays later, you finish it with the Bijan touchdown. But then the short yardage, we didn't get to talk about this enough. I absolutely love their call where they have the penalty, and you take it from the 2 to the 1.
Yeah.
And you go, you know what? There's no reason why I should go for 2 here.
Yeah.
Other than I don't think you can stop me. And I want to practice short yardage.
Well, you can't stop us from talking about the NFL headlines. Let's go in the huddle. Monday Night Football was good last night. It's up on the screen right now. Both teams go into the fourth quarter tied up at 20.
Was it good?
Josh
or was
Allen.
It,
from
was
the leaders
just,
that he is.
Thanks, yeah. Dan Campbell.
we'll
was
get to
it
that
good
in a
or was
hold
it
your horses, Dan? We're coming.
Or was it just a bad game that was the only game on?
I thought it was good.
Okay,
I thought it was good.
I'm just asking.
Well, I mean, it just define. What do you define a bad game?
Well, I mean,
there was definitely offensive fireworks.
One team was 1 of 4 in the red zone, missed 2 field goals. The other team,
yeah, but they had some explosives.
Failed to
Aaron
put
Rodgers
away.
Had over 300 yards passing. Breece Hall goes over 100 on the ground, 50 yards receiving. Dude, he was explosive last night. I do think it bears mentioning, though. Did you hear the Belichick cut from the Manning cast, where Belichick is talking about the firing of Robert Saleh, and he said that Woody Johnson basically, you know, he's to blame for all this. Did you happen to hear that?
No. What did it sound like? I think. Roll that back.
That's kind of what it's been there at the Jets. You know, it barely won over 30% in the last 10 years. So, you know, the owner being the owner, just ready, fire, aim.
Oh,
ready,
yes.
Fire, aim.
Well, you know there's hatred there, right?
Ready, fire, aim.
You know there's hatred there.
Oh, my goodness. As there should be. I mean, he starts off, he goes, you know I'm not a fan of the New York Jets.
But you know why.
Yeah.
Ready, fire, aim.
Because I think I want to make sure people in their car remember that he took that job.
Yeah.
And then goes, you know what? On second thought, I think I'm gonna go hang out with Bob Kraft. He's cooler than Woody Johnson.
Well, I was gonna say that shouldn't invoke any hatred from Bill's. I mean, Bill's the one that left.
Well, they sued him.
Yeah, I was gonna say that it's the aftermath of that.
Yeah.
That's the reason Bill doesn't like.
But I mean, that's what started.
And to be honest with you, I don't know that I blame him. I don't know that I blame either side.
I don't blame Woody.
I think
Johnson
I would have been in there for 4 days with Woody Johnson and be like, it's probably not a good idea. Yeah. And for Woody Johnson, I'm like, dude, you can't just walk in here for 4 days.
Yeah,
and then walk out and go to our competition.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
He's kind of said, hey, you said I do. You can't have this thing annulled yet. I don't.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Bill Belichick had worked there, so he knew Woody Johnson. All right, it wasn't like he just showed up and signed a deal and then he goes, 4 days later, I'm out.
Yeah.
They'd been living together for years, and then he decided that once they got married, it wasn't good enough.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, one of the injuries heard around the NFL this past week, and unfortunately, the Detroit Lions. Although they rolled and embarrassed the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, Aiden Hutchinson goes out for the year, or maybe not, according to Dan Campbell.
It hurts to lose somebody like him, not only the player, but the person that's in that locker room, the leader that he is. You know, but that being said, we move forward. And let me say this before I get to what I was just saying. Look, it's 4 to 6 months. I would never count Hutch out, ever. So, yeah, probably, you know, long road, but I would never count him out. And I would say if anybody can make it back, it'd be him.
Yeah, listen, man, I have broken my leg in football in the NFL before, all right? So I feel comfortable saying this. He kicked himself in his own knee. I don't know that we need him coming back this year. And I know that maybe he'll want to, but can we protect him from himself and just say that's maybe not a good idea?
I'm not trying to laugh. It's not funny. But when you
I've been there. I've done this before.
No, I was sitting here thinking, wait, that's how he did it? I thought he hit another guy's leg. And then I realized that the aftermath was it.
So. No, man. I don't want – I'm laughing because of your comments. I want to make sure people are clear. We're not laughing at Aiden Hutchinson at all.
No,
I am very concerned.
Dan
Campbell is trying to be complimentary of Aiden Hutchinson, and I'm like, dude, no.
But
no, we're not going to go down that road.
But here's the thing. And I understand – because that was my first thought. But what Dan Campbell is really saying is – he's just trying to build up the person and the player. That's who he is.
Yeah.
That's who Dan Campbell is. He is the ultimate. You ever talk to anybody that's been around him? They just talk about the amazing human being he is and how he treats others and how, you know, he's the constant leader that builds and wants to thrust the person up on a pedestal. He's just talking about Aiden Hutchinson in that way, and I don't think he is – pushing Aiden Hutchinson to come back before he's ready. I don't think he would do that.
Another note before we got to go to break here, the Dolphins, McDaniel expects Tua to play again in 2024. I don't think that's like the worst kept secret in the NFL.
Yeah, all he's got to do is be activated. He'll play. As soon as he's activated after the four, I think he'd go four games, right?
I'm going to be honest with you, dude. Watching the Dolphins the rest of the season, I'm going to be cringing every time he drops back. I'm going to be terrified. And Tua is, I don't mean that. Y'all know me. Tua is my favorite college football player of all time. My favorite college football player of all time, Tua Tagovailoa. Loved watching the kid at Bama. But, man, that's going to be – I'm going to be in the edge of my seat every time I watch Miami. Grew up a Dolphins fan. It's going to be stressful, man. So, anyways, look, when we come back, I want to talk about this Dan Lanning situation, the 12-man penalty. I'm going to give him his kudos. And I'm going to give kudos to Bo, too. He's one of the early believers in this entire train of thought. Also, in Mic'd Up, one of the headlines from Longhorn's Wire on USA Today is asking if Kirby should be suspended. I got thoughts. You'll want to stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.